Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come as the wind and cleanse. Come as the fire and purge. Come as the light and reveal. Convict, convert, and consecrate us until we are wholly yours. On this first Sunday after the Epiphany, which is the feast of the baptism of our Lord, our readings feature the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit acting in creation at Jesus' baptism and in the life of the church. These grand markers in salvation history may get us thinking that the Holy Spirit acts only at grand decisive turns in history. Of course they do, but we need to also know that the movement of love that we recognize as Holy Spirit is happening all the time. Without God's Holy Spirit, there could be no life whatsoever. The sacraments of the church draw particular attention to this reality. Today is one of the days in the liturgical calendar especially appropriate for the sacrament of holy baptism. In normal days, baptisms are performed in the presence of the whole congregation to demonstrate the centrality of Christian community in the living out of our baptism. We are missing that particular experience today as COVID has forced us to do all our baptisms in private for a time. But the Holy Spirit cannot be stopped. Louisa Coral, Austin Michael, Edward Nathaniel, Eloise Joan, Jack Frederick, Mylena Adele, Reese Bowden, Dalton Gray, and Felix William have all been baptized from this church since the day of Pentecost last. Thanks be to God, they are our newest brothers and sisters in Christ. The gospel today helps us understand the origin and meaning of baptism, as well as the movement of the Holy Spirit it represents. The enormously important and fascinating prophet named John appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. John was given a very special word from God, a most critical insight and understanding into human nature. And it is this, that people are prone to sin and to backslide, to forget who we are meant to be, where we come from, and where we're going. John saw so clearly that all people are prone to self-centeredness and to hurting one another. John was preaching a turning from that self-centeredness back to God-centeredness. This movement of his was significant, and it sparked a spiritual renewal that caught the attention of Jesus, who validated it by his participation in it, and caught the attention of Herod, who was both fascinated and afraid of it, and even caught the attention of the Roman historian Josephus. John was a big deal. The repentance that John administered was ritualized with a water bath, wherein the sins were ceremonially washed away. The sinner was thereby restored to proper order and spiritual health. Jesus was baptized this way, and in so doing, joined with humanity and this most important recognition of human nature. Then, something very special and different happened. The Holy Spirit descended on him to affirm him as God's beloved Son. In that moment, the baptism of our Lord transformed the ritual by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes I think we risk putting baptism on a shelf with our other pretty things, the wedding china that we rarely use, or the fine artwork that we hang on a wall behind glass and look at occasionally. Our baptism, this baptism of our Lord, is a living practice that cannot be kept on a shelf or hung on a wall. It must be refreshed, renewed, explored, celebrated, and lived out, used and made use of every day to face and address the conflicts of the world, the conflicts and problems in our nation, in our communities, and in our families. I know there are so many problems, and they seem quite overwhelming. But we need to know, we need to remember that it is the Holy Spirit manifest in Jesus who can change our division into unity, our illness into health, our hate into love, chaos into a beautiful creation. And that same Holy Spirit lives in you and moves through you. I have seen it move, some to make meals and others to give blood, some to join small groups and become deep wells of prayer for their families. The Spirit has moved some to speak the truth in love and enter into respectful conversations with those with whom they differ. These are just a tiny sample of the countless movements of love that are empowered through the Holy Spirit given to us at baptism. More than anything, though, the bedrock upon which our baptism rests is this: that God loves you, loves you, loves you without end. We are all God's beloved children, without exception. These baptismal principles are how we live and operate in the world, at home, in our jobs, in our schools, at the supermarket, and even in traffic. Wherever we go and whatever we do, our baptism informs and molds everything. It's who we are as the beloved community. I was struck by a widely circulated interview of one angry, very angry, lost and soul-wounded man who participated in the mayhem against our Capitol just a few days ago on the Feast of the Epiphany of our Lord. In the midst of his criminal violence, he answered a reporter's question with a question of his own. He asked, perplexed, "What are we supposed to do?" He does not know that he belongs to God and that Jesus is our Lord and that the Holy Spirit is the movement of love in our lives. He does not know what to do because he does not know who he is. The result of not knowing who we are is inevitably varying degrees of chaos and insanity. I agree with Archbishop William Temple when he said that the institution of the church has no particular technical expertise in economics or politics, and so has no business offering technical solutions in those areas. That's for the people called to work in those fields. We've seen the disaster that occurs when some churches embed themselves in the technical machinations of politics. The church is, however, here to remind us of who we are as baptized persons, to train and exhort its members to live into their baptism every day. The church is also right to criticize and call attention to any field of endeavor that violates godly principles and injures its people. And of course, we pray for our social systems in church every week, including our government. So you'll get no political or economic advice from this pulpit, and you don't need it from me. Your baptism lived out contains all that you need to face the world. And with that in mind, let us now stand and renew our own baptismal covenant as printed in the service bulletin.